Lord Jesus, we just worship you. You get all the glory. You alone get all the glory. You alone, Jesus. This whole Christian walk, this faith, is built and rooted in you. It is established in you. Our day begins with you, Jesus Christ. You are our life. Every morning, your mercy is new towards us, Lord. I pray that anyone listening will be encouraged to worship you and to lift you up, Jesus Christ, and to exalt you as the true God and Lord and Savior. Lord, we just pray that anyone who is listening would just come to know you as their true food, Lord, as their true nutrition that they need for their spiritual life. In your name we pray, amen. Hello, this is Mike Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. And you can find me in two places now. iTunes search query, just put Michael Ryan's Booze. Or you can go to letsworshipjesus.com and be refreshed with just Jesus Christ and real personal issues that happen as a result of living in this world with sinful bodies. And I hope you're being blessed this morning. I hope that you had a great vacation. Memorial Day, if you had that day off and you're able to spend time with your family. And I hope that this week is a good week for you. You know, it's so, in the beginning of the week, it's so easy to be, you know, oh, I just can't wait till the weekend again. But it says in the scriptures, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because, friends, the Lord can just do something amazing. Every day is an opportunity for Him to just reveal more of Himself to you. So we can value every day, right? We don't have to be like, oh man, Monday, I hate that. Oh, we know that every day is just another opportunity to get more of the Lord Jesus Christ and just showing His love to us. So I pray you're being blessed today and that He will reveal more of Himself to you. And, you know, we are so blessed because we can sit here and have a conversation like this and we can talk about the goodness of the Lord Jesus and revealing Himself to us. Because we've been released, friends. We were blind at one point. Even if you got saved when you were at a young age, you were blind at one point as well. We were all blind. This world is just a big blanket, a veil. And through Jesus Christ, we're now able to see clearly that He is God and that we have a future and a hope in Him. And it's not something that we should take for granted. It was bought with precious blood, and that's something to remember every day of your life, that where you stand right now in Jesus Christ is because of Him, and you wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for that, and you would have torment to look forward to in your eternity if it wasn't for that. His blood just spilled for you. And I want to take some time to just talk about just this gift that we have and how really we've got to be a light to the world because the world is under the sway of the evil one. It really is. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it jumps right into that. It says, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And that's true. Everything in the world, even if it's seemingly good things, it's in the power of Satan. He's the ruler of this world. Jesus said that in John chapter 16. He said that Satan is the ruler of the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that he's the prince of the air. We've got to understand that, friends, this world is not the kingdom of Christ. It's the kingdom of Satan. You know, people in the world try to flip it like, oh, well, you know, Satan is the ruler of hell and he lives there and that's his kingdom with all his demons. That's not the truth. Satan doesn't want to go anywhere near hell. He's just as afraid of it as any human being. He'll suffer in there just like anyone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus and refuses to have their sins washed. His kingdom is here. What a deception, right? He wants people to believe his kingdom somewhere else. His kingdom is on this planet here. But the Lord Jesus is still in control. He still is sovereign. He's still having his will worked. He's still using us as people. But the kingdom of Satan is here. How is it then that he was able to offer Jesus all these kingdoms and riches when he was tempting him in the desert? It's because this is his kingdom, and it's important to understand that. You know, and not that we can start go focusing on what Satan's doing, but so we can just not be ignorant to his devices, ignorant to the people that we're witnessing to, that these are people who are under his sway. And it can look like something different. For some people, it may look like a preoccupation with just money and drugs or sexual things or whatever it may be. For some people, it may just look like a preoccupation with something that's seemingly good, just family and income and supporting me. Because, friends, people out there, sometimes we think that it's the people who are doing the really blatantly, overtly horrible things that need Christ. But even the people who are just the grandparent who loves their grandkids and, you know, goes and does charity, they need the Lord Jesus Christ. They're just as wicked. You understand what I'm saying? And I believe that Satan has them under his sway as well, to believe that they can trust in their own goodness. They can trust in the things that they have in their life and the achievements that they have. But it must be the Lord. He's the only currency to forgive us for our sins. So we see here in verse 19 that the whole world, not some of the world, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But check this out. And we know that the Son of God has come, amen, and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I like that. The word true is mentioned here three times. Three times. Because let me tell you something. I just finished explaining that the whole world is under the evil one. And what did Jesus say about the evil one, about Satan? He's the father of what? Lies. Jesus Christ has come to give the truth and set us free with the truth. The lie is, I can do okay by myself. I'm okay by myself. I don't need a savior. I don't need a savior. I need whatever it is that enters my heart. I need whatever it is I think I need. And friends, that is a lie. That is a lie. And it comes from the evil one, and it's all over. How many movies do you see with just people who are just glorified thieves or glorified criminals, and we think that they're so cool, and it's showing us how all you have to do is look attractive and be have money and, you know, just be popular, and that's what matters, and you don't need to know God. You just need to do things in your own strength. It's just a lie. It's just a bunch of lies thrown at us. I mean, it's all over. I mean, even kid channels, even nice kid channels, it's lies of, you know, life is about, you know, just getting along with everyone, and, you know, we're all big community and family, and we all just need one another, and we all help one. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. It's part truth, but it's not the whole truth. It's something that Satan gives. He's giving it right now to our kids. It's all over the place. You have to understand that the trueness is that the Son of God came into the world to give understanding. And what's the understanding? Every one of us is in trouble, friends. Every one of us, our humankind, is in trouble. We like all these movies about aliens coming and taking over, and, you know, the whole human race is going to be in this big predicament because we're going to be destroyed by this superior alien race. Look, I don't know anything about that. I know this one thing, though, that there is a whole other world out there that we don't know about, and it's a spiritual world. And Jesus Christ came in from that to give us understanding that we're all headed to trouble. Every one of us, if we don't repent. If we don't repent and know him. And Satan, his goal is to keep everyone in the dark, that they don't need a savior, that they're good as they are, that even if there is a God, you don't need Jesus Christ to go to heaven. There's so many different paths. We don't need a savior. We just need something else. We have the understanding that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and everything in between. He is the true God. He's true. Everything else is false. And guess what? And if you believe in him, you are in him. You're in him who is true. You're not in a lie. Everything that Jesus Christ has promised you is true. I've gone to prepare a place for you. It's true. Where I am, there my servant will be also. That's true. I love you. I will never forsake you. That's true. Without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's true. Abide in me. I've come to give you abundant life. That's true. Whoever believes in me will not die. They will not taste death. That's true. You can count. You can bring that to the bank. Those are all true things. But whatever the world is spitting out at you, work harder. The harder you work, it'll all pay off. It's a lie. Oh, we can all be a big community. We don't need all this other religion stuff. We just need to all get along and get our acts together. That's a lie. We can make it on our own. That's a lie. If I just work hard, if I just try hard enough, if I just believe in myself, I can do it. That's a lie. It's all lies. It's all lies. My good deeds, the way I live my life, that's what matters. That's a lie. And guess what? Jesus Christ came to dispel that lie and say, I am the true God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he laid down his life, and we killed him for it. That's the reality. But we are in the Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 20 of 1 John chapter 5, it says, this is the true God and eternal life. I mean, it's just a reference to his deity right here. So many people say, oh, the Bible never says that Jesus Christ is God. Well, right here, I mean, many places. We're in Colossians 2. I'm in the middle of doing a series on that. And even there, he is the image of the invisible God. I mean, what more do you need? What more do you need? The Colossians is such an amazing letter that just shows the supremacy and preeminence of Jesus Christ. Right here in verse 20, this is the true God and eternal life. But friends, people won't see that. People won't see it because they're blinded. And that's why we have to be praying, not so that we can be better evangelists, but that the Spirit of God will pour himself out, the Spirit of liberty, it talks about in 2 Corinthians 3, and that people will be finally unveiled so they can see Jesus Christ for who he is, that they can now see the Bible for what it is, a testimony of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. And this ministry, he's talking about Paul, he's talking about in 2 Corinthians, the chapter before, chapter 3, he's making a point of, look, you know, the Old Testament came and it had the old covenant in it, and it was glorious. There was miracles that God did in it, but it was temporary, and that was a ministry of death because no one could hold that law, no one can keep it. It killed. But we have a ministry that remains, and if the ministry that was of death and that faded had glory, how much more glory does a ministry that stays here and doesn't ever go away? And guess what? That ministry is Jesus Christ. It's the ministry of the Spirit, his Spirit. And people stand over the scriptures reading it. When they hear the law of Moses being read, they have a veil over their face. They can't see it properly. But we can only see it because Jesus Christ is what lifts the veil. It's only him that lifts the veil. Up to this day, people have a veil over their face. And they can't see. They cannot see. But it's Jesus Christ that takes away that veil. And we begin to see, and we get transformed from glory to glory because we're seeing Jesus Christ clearly. But it's got to be him we're seeing, and him only. So he's saying in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we don't lose heart. We're encouraged. I mean, the hidden things are no longer we are now encouraged by the fact that we can see Jesus Christ clearly. And it says, "For we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." And, you know, we can look at this and just see that once you see the truth of God, once you've come full in full close impact with the truth of Jesus Christ. Everything else gets renounced. Everything else that we think is important, it just becomes shameful. It doesn't even matter anymore. Do you understand? Once we have the veil lifted, we can be encouraged. And we can now walk in truth, and we can now walk in confidence. And this is something we have to remember. We can't take it for granted, because we too would be blind if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus lifting us up, taking the veil away. And then he goes on to say what I'm talking about to you in verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Another testimony that he's God, who is the image of God. So he's saying, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He is the image of God. And when you see him, that's when you really begin to live. That's when the truth comes clear. And you just got to look around you and remember that the world does not know him. And that's why we go and preach Christ. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. Do you understand? And now he's speaking specifically to the Corinthians and saying, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake, that we truly are servants of you to what? Just allow you to live the way you want to live and not, you know. No, we're servants to present to you Jesus clearly. And friends, that's what I would say. This world is blinded. This world is blinded. And I encourage you to be presenting Jesus Christ to people. Don't let your own imperfections and your own stuff get in the way of what's really happening. There's a coming kingdom. This world is coming to an end. Do you understand? This world is fading away. At any moment, our Lord and Messiah can come back. He can come back at any time. And we've got to be ready. And how do we stay ready? By staying in him, by focusing on him. And I would encourage you to present him to other people. Present him. Present him to people who don't know him. And present him to people who say they know him. Because, friends, honestly, it isn't just unbelievers who are blind. But sometimes believers can walk in blindness. They walk not seeing Jesus Christ, and they willfully put a veil over their own face. They open up the scriptures and they don't see Jesus Christ. They don't look for him. They know him. They've called upon his name and they'll mention him, but they're not making it about him. And they go through their own Christian life, living it just not abundantly. And the quality of their Christian life is not good, because Jesus Christ is not the main thing. He is not the God, the Lord, the Savior, the Messiah of their life. They've taken the Lord Jesus Christ, they've received him as their Savior, but then they don't call upon him daily. And we must remember to call upon the Lord Jesus daily. He lives, and he transforms us from glory to glory. We can still voluntarily be blinded by the world, blinded by the ruler of this world. If we're not careful, friends, it can happen to you, it can happen to me, if we decide to not put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying put him on and encourage other people to know him and to put him on. That's a message that's for everyone, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a day and age where it's just it's so horrible, friends. It's so evident that it should be evident to you when I say that Satan's ruler of the world. It should be like, oh, wow, yeah, that makes absolute sense with the nonsense that's going on. You know, you're talking to people about Jesus Christ and they just think you're telling them a fairy tale. It's the spirit of Satan. It's him. It's the evil one. So let's just be praying for people in this world to get saved and for people to not be blinded, okay? Jesus Christ, we worship you only. And we exalt you only. You are the fullness of God, and you are King, and you reign. Lord, I pray that you would encourage anyone listening to this and that your name would be blessed. Amen.